At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, we've managed it. We've been in our house on Anglesey for 16 months now, and we've done it. We have learned to live without a dishwasher. We have even got through our first Christmas with the whole family without a dishwasher. Whether they come again next year is another matter. We never thought we could do it, but we have. We are now back in the land of fairy liquid. And I think we have a picture to remind us what it used to be like. There we go. How did it go? Can you remember? Hands that do dishes can feel soft as your face with mild green fairy liquid. Yeah, you see, you can do it, you know. And how did it carry on? Gentle on your hands, tough on dishes. And if you believe that, you believe anything. Anything filled with chemicals strong enough to dissolve grease is going to kill your hands. And it has. I think I'll need to get some rubber gloves. Because I need protection, especially in this age of Sillit bang, this age of SIF and pledge and all those other strong words. This age filled with chemicals in every product, where every product has to be more powerful than the next for getting your pots and your surfaces clean. But at least the fairy advert had a go at paradox, being gentle and powerful at the same time. But yes, that was in times gone by. We're all more equal now. You wouldn't get this advert, I hope. But now, also, the word gentle is in danger of being devalued. It was on its way before, but in our age of Sillit bang, gentle, outside fabric conditioners and hair shampoo, is a word which has very little impact. Gentle is the opposite of powerful. Gentle is weak. It won't dissolve anything. But what about our Christian understanding of the word gentle? In 2 Corinthians, Paul warns us against looking at the surface of things and makes his appeal to his readers by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He goes on to tell of how, when he asked God to remove an unnamed torment, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Somehow gentleness, weakness, is all bound up with power and strength, a bit like fairy liquid. In Christ, it is possible to be gentle and powerful at the same time, Okay, nothing like fairy liquid, but you get my drift. Jesus said, "Come to me. I am gentle and humble in heart." But in our Christian thinking, has this gentleness become devalued too? Has gentle simply become the opposite of powerful? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Charles Wesley, anyone? But what picture of Jesus do those words conjure up? Perhaps it's this. This is a picture by Margaret Tarrant called Christ and the Lesser Brethren. Although I think my dog would disagree with the Lesser Brethren bit. Gentle Jesus, in our Silip Bang world, which needs power for impact, is this just nostalgia? Christians are asking all over the place, how do we reach into our culture? It's not a new question, but now, does our world need a gentle Jesus? As if. Don't we need Jesus to be more like this? Ooh, there it is. Yeah, this was a poster brought out a few years ago by Christian Action Now, CAN, who wanted to, and I quote, get rid of the image of Jesus as the wimp in the white shirt. And they're not the first ones to do this, and they won't be the last. Are we on our way to getting a Silip Bang religion too? Would it mirror our culture? Do we want to mirror our culture? Has the concept of gentleness outside the image of Christ and the Lesser Brethren become devalued in our thinking? Is gentle now a word with very little impact? Is gentle simply weak? Do not go gently into that good night, said Dylan Thomas. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Power is surely what we need. And yet the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, asks us to rejoice greatly and shout, for see, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. The prophet who speaks to the needs and yearnings of his people has a vision of a gentle saviour. And is that what we got? In John, Jesus describes himself as many things. I am the light of the world, the bread of life, the water of life. But in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he often answers questions about his identity with another question: who do you say I am? Or he gives tantalizing clues through his actions or his stories. So when in Matthew 11, Jesus actually says, I am something, we can sit up and listen with new ears. Matthew's gospel presents us with the one whom the prophets foretold and how he speaks to our yearning. Come to me. Come and see. See what I am. This is me. I am gentle and humble in heart. Paul asks us to see beyond the surface of things. It doesn't matter if Jesus is wearing a wimpy white shirt and surrounded by little foxes, or whether he bears a passing resemblance to a Cuban revolutionary. It is his heart he wants us to see. Jesus' heart. In this passage, the words that describe his heart flow from a prayer to his Father. Lord of heaven and earth, it begins. And the words which describe his heart flow on from a description of the unknowable depth of intimacy between Father and Son. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And when Jesus is revealing himself to us in these words, I am gentle and humble in heart, surely what he is revealing is the heart of God. A long time now, in the time before no dishwashers, my remit as a team minister at Ashby Baptist Church was to develop an older people's ministry. And we reflected a long time about that, what that would mean. We had some good practice guidelines, and they began with this little reflection. They're the words of Jean Vanier. He was a Catholic priest who went to live in the Larch community in France, which was a community of disabled people. And these words tell us really what he learned there. Jesus says, I am gentle. He does not say that he acts gently or that gentleness is a good thing to practice. Jesus says that he is gentle. Jesus, who is God, who is love, and in whom the image of God is revealed, is gentle in his very being. Gentleness is not an option. It is an aspect of the divine. Gentleness sits at the heart of the gospel. Jesus, who is God, enters the world in weakness and vulnerability, dependent on the gentleness of his parents for his very survival. Gentleness was the mark of Jesus' ministry. Gentleness as he moved his disciples from discipleship to friendship. Gentleness towards women, the outcast, the marginalized. And gentleness was the mark of his death and resurrection. The gentleness of the women who held and washed his broken, lifeless body. The gentleness of his words towards Thomas, in spite of all his doubting. And you could add, the gentleness with which he breathed the Spirit into his startled friends as he strode back into their lives. Gentleness is an aspect of the divine. Gentleness is not an option. And if this is so, then we'd better rethink what gentle really means in our sillit bang world, a world where gentle has become separated from power and no longer has impact. I'm going to show you a picture now. It's a picture by Edward Munch, and it's called Compassion, which in my thesaurus, and for the sake of this argument, can also mean gentleness. The subject, if it's not obvious, is a woman comforting another woman who has her hands up to her face. If you're thinking that Mr. Munch had a particularly black day when he sketched this, don't worry. It's not the original. It's my copy, and therefore my apologies. But I like it because it shows me that gentle is not the opposite of powerful. It shows me that gentle is actually strong. And much more besides. Look at the woman's arm that's stretched out, surrounding and containing the other's grief. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Look at the way the muscle is defined. What a bicep! Perhaps she's perfected the pull-up at CrossFit, or at least has practiced it a lot. And likewise, gentle is something to be practiced and developed. Take my yoke and learn from me. Gentle is strong enough to be vulnerable. Look at the way the back is open. No defences, no rubber gloves. Gentle doesn't protect itself. It doesn't hide. It has the courage to face another's pain. Gentle takes time. Gentle is willing to slow down enough to hear, enough to listen, to sit alongside suffering for as long as it takes. Gentle is controlled. Gentle might be shocked, might want to hit back at the anger or rail at God for suffering, but gentle tries not to. The hair is up, neatly coiled. There's something still and definite about the lines. Gentle does not dissolve in the face of suffering. Gentle is proximity. Gentle has the courage to face suffering, to touch it, to be marked by it. Look at the face in the hair. Gentle is soft enough for suffering. Soft enough for suffering to leave its imprint, but strong enough to encompass it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All very well, you may say, but how easy is easy? Being gentle in the midst of brokenness is one thing. The poor woman looks defeated. She might have been easy to surround. Gentle would feel strong in comparison. But what about when suffering burns with anger, when suffering gets dangerous or absolutely demands action? Where is gentle's power then? When my son Tom was 18, he had a party at a local hall, and we had the joy of sitting on the door all night, making sure no one gate crashed. We thought it would be fairly easy because it was fancy dress, so anyone dressed normally would be instantly suspicious. Well, we did our bit, and by the end of the evening we relaxed and managed to miss a guy who walked in, 5 to midnight, looking for trouble. As soon as we realised, the dads tried to get him to leave, and I went looking for the manageress, as you do. When I got back with her, this guy was just getting angrier and angrier. He was high on something very chemical, and everything was winding him up. And the manageress just walked up to him, tea towel over her shoulder. She stood very close to him, looked up at him, and said very quietly and gently, just like she was a mum, "Are you all right, mate? I think you better leave now." And he did. He instantly calmed. It left him just like that. And he drifted on out like the bruised reed that he was. And I still pray now and again that one day he'll drift into the path of one of those gentle street pastor people out there. It says in Proverbs that a gentle answer turns away wrath. We do gentle a disservice by separating weak from strong. In separating weak from strong, we do Jesus a disservice. What power does it take not to use the power that created the universe? A bruised reed he will not break. A smouldering wick he will not snuff out. Yet he was pierced for our iniquities. His wounds have healed us. A gentle answer turns away wrath, and a gentle Saviour turns away death. Gentle in the truly powerful sense of the word. At Ground Zero in New York, before the rebuilding, there was for a long time only a cross, made out of the twisted metal of what once was the Twin Towers. Gentle surely has to be powerful to turn away the wrath of this world. But how? Gentle is an aspect of the divine, and as followers of Christ, we are called to find the gentleness in our very beings. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, Paul asks us to live lives worthy of our calling, to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love. And in Philippians 4, verse 5, Paul weaves the thread of gentleness with witness and with the proximity of God. The coming again of Christ. What a three-strand cord. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Jean Vanier asked the question, what would our churches be like if we began to develop the virtue of gentleness? Gentleness in Galatians is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's look around us. Are we gentle with each other? Is God gently building us up as a gentle community? It's here. Look out for it. There were certainly big signs at the pastoral care course in February. And it's here as we talk to each other and build our relationships with one another. So we know what our church would be like as we actively develop the virtue of gentleness. What would our world be like? If gentleness is an aspect of the divine, if gentleness is at the heart of the Saviour and a fruit of the Spirit, then gentleness is all about impact, all about transformation, all about us. There's no rule against gentleness. It's part of our kingdom freedom to be gentle with each other and with ourselves. Gentle isn't the only thing we need as Christians. Gentleness is not the only fruit. And if creation is anything to go by, God's heart is a beautiful, many-stranded tapestry. But gentleness is one golden thread we may have lost a bit of somewhere along the way. What would our world be like if we actively developed the virtue of gentleness? Our world so high on power. If we turn to be gentle with our world, our neighbours, would we be misunderstood? In our Silit Bang world, where all solutions are instant and chemical, slow-paced gentleness could be mocked and scoured, or best ignored. But Christ has shown its real power, and we can take courage from his gentleness. Our world, so fragile and broken and burnt with hatred, is there such a thing as being too gentle? The writer of Proverbs 25:15 knew all about the paradox of power and weakness. He says, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Gentle can break bone. Can we be too gentle? I don't think so. in a world so fragile and broken and literally burning with hatred. If you put your unrubber-gloved hand, even gently, on brokenness, if you even ever so slightly brush a burn, the pain is searing. How gentle will we have to be? It will need so much practice, so much love, patience, self-control, faithfulness, goodness, righteousness, to be that gentle. So it's good that we can begin with each other. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let's pray. Gentle, powerful Saviour, who would not break a bruised reed or snuff out a flickering light, fill us with the gentleness of your own heart, that we may practice being gentle with each other, with ourselves, until we become like you, gentle in our very being. Amen.